Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter 15, let's begin reading verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, as humble as we know how. God, as I stand here tonight and look over this wonderful congregation, Lord, my nerves, Lord, as much. But God, I'm glad, Lord, that you can channel those and use us, Lord, for a little while tonight. God, bring to our minds, Lord, the things we've studied and prepared in this sermon, and help us to portray it to your people that it might be a help, an encouragement, a blessing, and restoration, Lord, of their spirit. Lord, I pray, God, that you just help them tonight through the preaching of your word. Lord, if there be one here tonight that has went astray, God, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. Lord, if there be one here tonight that's lost in the wilderness, God, I pray that you'd show them tonight, God, that they can be found. God, forgive us for where we failed you. Use us in your service. And for that, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing this evening in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I appreciate the Bible. I told Jacob there, my oldest son, I said, there's been some mighty great men of God to wear this lapel mic in the last 72 hours. And I'll be honest, I feel unworthy to stand here this evening. I know the God of heaven called me. I know the God of heaven saved me. I know the God of heaven put this message on my heart for this hour. And my prayer is that it would be a blessing to y'all. Amen. And so I want us to look this evening in verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying," he here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to a group of scribes and Pharisees, and they're murmuring because he had been a guest with sinners. And so he's preaching to a crowd of people that's not necessarily on his side. And so he begins to teach them a lesson. The Lord used parables all throughout his earthly ministry to teach those disciples and those scribes and those Pharisees lessons. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I love parables because it is somewhat like a portrait that an artist would paint. Amen. In a parable, there's never a named mentioned. And so we know that Luke 16 is not a parable because both Abraham and Lazarus are mentioned by names. And so that's a literal account. Somebody who died went to hell, but here there's no names mentioned. The Bible specifically says, "And the Lord spoke this parable unto them, saying." I want you to note with me that this is one story in three different parts. Amen. We see the part concerning the lost sheep in the text we've read. And then in verses 8 through verse number 10, we see the part concerning the lost silver. And then in verse 12, we see the lost son. And so we see the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. And so I want to preach on those three parts tonight with the help of God on this thought: I once was lost, but now I'm found. Y'all know the lyrics of the song, Amazing Grace. It says, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." And so take note with me tonight that in this parable, there's something lost in each part. In verse number 8, or verse 4, the Bible says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" And then also in verse number 8, the Bible says, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it?" And then in verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living." And so we know the story of the lost son, how that he went to the far country and wasted his substance on riotous living. In this parable, we see the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. Looking at the lost sheep tonight, we see here that there is a flock of 100. And the shepherd knows that flock. He knows the details of it. Maybe he puts them in lots of 10. And he begins to do inventory of his sheep. And he says, "I've got 10 here, 20 here, 30 here, so on." And he gets to that last lot. And he says, "Hey, there's one missing. I'm going to recount just to make sure." And so he looks at his flock and he says, "Hey, it's a little thin. There's one not where it's supposed to be." That father, or that shepherd, knows his sheep. Amen. And so he knows that something's not right. What does he do? The Bible says he leaves the 99 and goes to the wilderness looking for that lost sheep. Now, that might not mean much to you until you're the one that he's looking for. What in the world led to this sheep getting separated from the flock? Well, it could be that this little old sheep was injured. Maybe the shepherd was leading the flock to greener pastures, and this sheep got off the straight and the narrow and got his foot caught in a rock and he hurt his hoof. Or maybe he took infection from a thorn. But nevertheless, it was an injury that caused him to lag behind. He was hurting and he is experiencing pain. How many of y'all know somebody that used to be a part of the flock tonight, but because they got hurt in the church house, they're not here? Amen. I mean, look, let's just be honest. Church hurt is a real thing, and it really does cause pain, and it really does hurt. And if you don't forgive, it'll turn into bitterness and affect your walk with Christ. And so church hurt is a real thing. This one sheep has went astray. He's not with the flock anymore. And it could definitely be because of injury. You know, a lot of times as Christians, we will allow what somebody says hurt our feelings, and it'll cause us not to be where we ought to be with the Lord. A lot of times somebody might say something, or somebody may not include you in their weekend plans, and you think, "Well, I'm not important to them no more." Or maybe the pastor don't come see you at your house, and you get sensitive, and that begins to bother you and fester. Hey, and it's an injury that causes this sheep to not be in the fold. Amen. He has got isolated, if you will. There's many tonight that used to be on the church pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But because of an injury that has taken place, they're not with the fold. Amen. It could be injury. How many of y'all ever watched Bob Ross paint? When at our house, we love Bob Ross. I mean, the big red afro. I mean, he paints little happy trees and little happy trees here and little happy trees there. And then that big fluffy cloud right there in the sky. We love Bob Ross. And so that's how it is when you preach a parable. You can paint the portrait how you like as long as you stay in the Scripture. Amen. Was that sheep, was it injured? Could have been. It might have been that he got entangled. Entangled. He was on the straight and narrow. And I mean, they were making tracks. 100 sheep in unison headed to greener pastures. One little old sheep, he decides, hey man, that he's going to go over here by himself because it looks nice and refreshing down here in this low-lying shady spot. And when he gets down there, he gets entangled in a vine. I don't know if they got kudzu over there, but in my picture, they're going to have kudzu over there. And so that little old sheep, he's got caught up in the kudzu. And the shepherd and the 99 have went on over the hill and got out of sight. And he's all alone, all by himself, because he is entangled. How many of y'all know somebody that's got entangled in the affairs of this world? They're not in church anymore because they're tangled up in the things of this world. Amen. You take something like, I love sports, not against sports. My kids play sports. But, you know, it's amazing they have Sunday night football. It's amazing that the race comes on Sundays, the Lord's Day. And so if we're not careful, we'll get our priorities in the wrong order and we'll get tangled up in the things of this world. And if we're not careful, our seat will be vacant at the house of God because we're entangled in the things of this world. Could it be distraction? I don't know, but I do know this. There was one that was not with the fold. According to the Scripture, there was one that was not with the fold. And so it could be that he got distracted. Me and my little girl, we like to color pictures sometimes. And I remember a few years ago, I was coloring a picture of a sheep, and there was a butterfly sitting on his head. And so, could you imagine, here they are, they're grazing in greener pastures, right beside of the still waters, and a little old butterfly. I feel like I have went out of, I'm off my rockers tonight. Amen. Little old butterfly comes by, lights on that sheep's head, and he begins to get his attention off of the fold, off of the shepherd, and on this butterfly. And that little old butterfly flaps his wings and begins to flutter in the opposite direction of the way the flock is going. And he's got distracted, and he's following that little old butterfly in the opposite direction of the way the flock is going. Hey, I know a lot of people tonight that have got distracted. I mean, it's not that they intentionally got out of church. It's not that they planned to get out of church. It's not that they got hurt in church. It's not that they got entangled in the affairs of this world. But in this busy life that we live, they've got distracted. They've got their eyes off of the shepherd, and they have found themselves isolated and away from the flock. Now, there's no doubt this sheep was lost in the wilderness. I don't have to labor the fact that this world is full of lost sinners. I mean, look, we all know lost people that's never been saved, that have no desire to be in church, that don't know the Lord. They've never experienced the free pardon of sin. They've never been washed in the blood. They don't know who Jesus is, and they're lost in the world. Amen. The wilderness is full of lost people. Amen. There's no doubt about it. Hey, our church has, our church, our county, our country is full of people who are lost and undone without God. This sheep was lost. He was lost in the wilderness. But then we see here, and I love this in verse 8, we see the part of this parable concerning the lost silver. The Bible says this, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And so we see a lady here. She's sitting in her house. She's got 10 pieces of silver. I personally believe that these pieces of silver held sentimental value to her. They were precious in her sight. Maybe they had been passed down from generation to generation. Maybe it was something that her mama gave her when she was a little girl, and her grandma gave her mama, and her mama gave it to her. But she had these 10 pieces of silver in her hand sitting at the house, and all of a sudden, she drops one piece. That piece of silver rolls over into the corner all by itself. Amen. And so we see the lost silver. It's lost because of a fall. Amen. But the Bible says she swept the floor. Can I tell you, sitting under the sound of my voice tonight is a group of individuals that are lost because of a fall. You go back to Genesis chapter number 3, and the blood of Adam runs in our veins tonight, and the fall of Adam leads to us being lost tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that silver was lost because of a fall. The first thing she did when she realized that one of those precious pieces of silver was missing was she lit a candle. And so, in other words, it was lost, and it was lost in the darkness. How many of y'all know somebody tonight that you love and they're precious to you and you care for them? They mean something to you. But the reality of the time is this. They're lost in the darkness. Need somebody to find them. Amen. Amen. Hey, that silver was lost because of a fall. It rolled over into a corner. If that silver could talk, it would say something like this. I'm lost. I'm all alone. I'm in outer darkness. And I ain't got no hope unless somebody finds me where I'm at. Hey, I want you to notice this tonight. It meant she lit that candle. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ over in the book of John. Amen. The Bible says, I am the light of the world. And I might have been lost. Amen, in darkness, but I'm glad the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, He knocked the cobwebs out of the corner of my heart and found me in my lost condition. Praise God. Hey, when they found the sheep, He laid it on His shoulders and He come rejoicing. He picked Him up by the front legs and the back legs and He laid it on His shoulders. What a picture of Calvary. But here we see she lit a candle and she swept the floor and she sought diligently until she found it. Hey, I want you to know tonight that this sheep was lost in the wilderness, but the silver was lost in the house. The silver was lost in the house. Now, I've come this far. I believe I'm on to something right here. I believe that the world is full of lost people. I believe that there's a lot of people outside the church house that don't know nothing about God. But I believe there's a lot of people in the house that have learned how to play church. They know how to tie double Windsor. They carry a King James Bible. They know how to put their hair up and wear long dresses and act like Christians. But the fact of the matter is this, truly they're lost in the house. Amen. I believe I read a statistic not long ago that said 80% of people that are lost have shook a preacher's hand. Boy, that hit hard with me to know that maybe on an Easter they went to the church house, or maybe at Christmas they went to the church house, but they know about God, they just don't know Him personally. And hey, look, I'm praying for those that are lost in the wilderness. I'm praying for those that have got hurt in church. I'm praying for those that are entangled in the affairs of this world. I'm praying for those that are distracted from the things of God. But honey, you sit here tonight under the sound of my voice, and I'm worried that there's somebody that may be lost in the house tonight. Can I tell you something? You're not lost because of what you've done. You're not lost because of the deeds you've committed, but it's because of who you are within yourself. If you've never been to Calvary, if you've never been saved, if you've never been washed in the blood, you're lost and undone without God in the house tonight. The sheep was lost in the wilderness, but the silver was lost in the house. Hey, I want you to know tonight, it would be bad to go to hell. It would be real bad to go to hell off of a church pew, from a church that preaches the gospel, shares the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Hey, boy, that'd be real bad, wouldn't it? I believe the silver was lost in the house. But then we see the lost son. The Bible says in verse number 11, and he said a certain man had two sons. Both of these boys had issues. The younger son had an issue with rebellion. The older son had an issue with self-righteousness. The younger son, he took unto him his inheritance. And he went to the far country and he wasted it on riotous living. That older son, he never left the farm, but he left the father. Hey. I said he never left the farm. But he left the father. And so when we look here, we see the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. The Bible says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. And so we see here a man that's got two boys, an older son and a younger son. And that younger son comes to his father and says, Father, I want my portion, I want my inheritance. That father has worked his whole life. He's got up at daylight and worked at dark. And over a period of a lifetime, he has accumulated a lot of earthly gain. And so he begins to hash it out and divide it among his offspring. And maybe he's got 10 tractors and he says, these 5 is for my older son and these 5 are for my younger son. Maybe he's got 100 cows and so he says, I'm going to give 50 to this boy and I'm going to give 50 to that boy. And so the younger son took all that he had and he went to the far country. And the Bible says, he wasted it on riotous living. Now, I want you to know that's not righteous living, but right the opposite of that. Amen. I believe he wasted it on the sinful things of this world. And so he went and joined himself to a citizen of the far country. And the Bible said, would have fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And so he leaves the father's house. He goes to the far country. And he had spent all. I believe he found himself in the lowliness of this world, in the muck and mire of a hog lot, a feeding swine. He would have fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. I believe he looked at them hogs as they were eating their slop and said, man, if my belly was as full of theirs, I'd be much happier than I am. But friend, can I tell you tonight, hey, God, to that far country, he joined himself to that citizen of that country. He had spent all. He realized he was in want or in need. And can I tell you, hey, that far country ain't near as beautiful and near as happy as what the devil portrays it to be. Hey, let me say something to some young person sitting here tonight. The devil will make that far country look real appealing. Hey, but it ain't what it's portrayed to be. I promise you, the grass ain't always greener on the other side. Amen. And so we see here that younger son, he leaves the father's house and he goes to the far country and he wastes his substance on riotous living. I would say this, in his life there's a rebellion. I mean, that rebellion grows up. He's got everything he needs at the father's house. Matter of fact, he's got hired servants, he's got bread enough and to spare. They've got leftovers at home. But here he is, he's allowed that rebellion to swell up in his soul, and he's ran from everything he ever knew. He wanted to see if it was really true that the grass was greener on the other side, and so he runs to the far country, wasted everything that his father had given him. I would say there was rebellion, there was a running, but then when he got there, there was a realization. He realized it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And man, can I say something? You don't have to get to that point in your life. Learn from another man's mistake. You don't have to go there. Let's learn from his mistake. Hey, there was a realization, and so he realized that wasn't the place for him, and so he begins to plot out in his mind something he would say when he gets back home to the Father. He says, when I get back up there, it's right here in the Scripture. He says, I'm going to ask him just to make me as one of thine hired servants. Amen. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. You're talking about realization. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. All he wanted to be was a servant back on the farm. Amen. He had plotted out and planned the words that he would say to the Father when he got back home. I can only imagine. Notice this, the Father didn't go to the far country looking for him. But the Father stayed at the Father's house. Maybe they would go down the steps for morning breakfast. The family would gather, and there would be the older son, the wife, the father, and an empty chair. And then that father would say, man, I sure miss my boy. I'm worried about him. I ain't heard from him in days. I remember when he was a boy, he's a first into the dinner table. He'd throw his elbows up on the table and he'd just rake that food off of his plate and get his little belly full. And he sees that empty chair right there, preacher, and his heart begins to hurt because there's a vacancy and a void, and he misses that young lad that is a part of their family. Maybe he walks around the farm and he goes out there and there's his horse in the stable, but the boy's nowhere around. Maybe he goes out there and there's a sycamore tree in the backyard, and he looks at that tree and he says, I remember when my boy carved his initials in that sycamore tree when he was just a young lad. Boy, I miss my son. I sure hope he's okay. Ain't nobody heard from him. Nobody knows where he's at. My heart hurts for him. And I believe in the evenings he'd sit on the front porch of that farmhouse and search a horizon. He'd sit in that rocking chair, him and his wife, and talk about the days of old. And one day, just like any day, he seen something way out there in the distance pop out of the ground. And he says, hey, looks like we've got company. Wonder who that is. I can't see them. I see them coming, but I can't make out who it is. Honey, can you tell who that is? She says, no, I can't tell. They're a long ways out there. And as they sat there and they began to key in and look more diligently toward that individual, it begins to become a realization that maybe the wife looks over and says, hey, it could be him. That looks kind of like our boy. And the father says, hey, mama, you know what? You're right. It does look like him. It appears to be him. And so the closer he gets, the more it becomes a reality that the younger son's coming home. And so we see the father, he breaks and he runs. And he falls on that younger son and he kisses him. Hey, I want you to know right now tonight that is a beautiful picture of the cross of Calvary. That younger son. Son has got the stench of the far country all over him. I mean, he smells like a hog lot. He looks like a hog lot. He's filthy. He's dirty. He's nasty. But that clean, righteous father didn't bother him. And so he ran and he fell on him and he kissed him. Hey, I'm telling you, he that knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Jesus Christ knew no sin, but he became sin on the cross of Calvary so that we might be forgiven of our sins. And he took the filth of the the hog lot, the sins of this world that was mine and yours, and placed it on his shoulders. Hey, I'm telling you, there was a glad, happy day there on the farm. He was lost, but now he's found. I remember when I was lost. Hey, man, I was like that sheep in the wilderness. I was like that silver in the corner. I was like that young man in a far country. Hey, I couldn't find myself. But thank God through the Holy Ghost, he come to where I sat and saved my soul from the devil's hell. I'm glad the hand of God is not shortened. He reached further down and I could reach up. Oh, thank God he picked me up out of the muck and the mire of this world and set me on a solid rock and put a song in my mouth, established my going, wrote my name down in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life, and made me a king, made me a child of the King, heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. I went down a twofold child of the devil, bound for hell, filled with sin, and come up clean, a child of the King, saved, washed in the blood, a child of the King. Thank God I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. Amen. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I want you to notice that in each part of this parable, there was something lost, there was something longed for, there was something located. Lost, longed for, and located. And I also want you to notice this, that each time something was found, there was rejoicing. And verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. You know what the word rejoice is? It is an outward expression of an inward condition. Rejoicing, it meant comes from the root word joy. Joy is an inward burst of radiant glory. That's according to 1828 Webster's. It's an inward burst of radiant glory. That's what joy is. And so rejoice is an outward expression of an inward condition. That little old prefix R-E on the word joy, it means to unveil. Think about the word revelation, to reveal something, to uncover it, to rewind something, means to go backward. And so if joy is an inward burst of radiant glory, rejoicing is an outward expression of an inward condition. Hey, when something as lost as I was is found, there's going to be a rejoicing takes place somewhere. And I tell you something, if you're sitting here tonight and you're lost, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you're found, they will be rejoicing in this place. You're among friends tonight. Amen. You say, well, I might confuse somebody. Don't you let somebody else's opinion drag you off to the gates of hell. Hey, you do what you're supposed to do and make it right and get saved before it's too late. Hey, you may be lost, but tonight you can be found. The other day, y'all don't throw rocks at me, but we hid some Easter eggs, okay? We hid them. We didn't find them all. I'd hate to know I was in a lost condition with no hope of ever being found. But can I tell you, I've got good news tonight. If you're lost, the high sheriff of heaven has sent out a search party looking for your soul. I got lost when I was a boy. Down there in Jenkinstown, me and my Uncle Marty, we was ramblers. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't get to play video games. And so we went and played in the creek. We killed black snakes with rocks. We caught crawfish, cooter snappers, and hellgrammites, and we went catfishing at the Fisher River. You say, what is that? Well, if you don't know, we'll talk after church. Good catfish bait. Somebody say amen, amen. If you know what I'm talking about, if you don't, I'll bring you into my world a little later. Amen. So we went down to the creek, and we started what we thought was north, ended up going south. We thought we would come out at my Uncle Charlie's, but we come out at my Aunt Callie's. And so we was totally opposite of where we thought we would come out at. And we didn't just come out, but we got turned around. And so the sun was starting to sink in the sky, and it's getting dark. And we knew if we wasn't home by the time it got dark, we was going to get lit up like a Christmas tree. That was our time, be home before it's dark. That's just how we worked back then. And so the sun was beginning to set in the sky, and it's getting dark. We didn't have a clue where we was at. I said, Marty, I said, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to keep a walking. We're going to keep a walking. And so me and my Uncle Marty, we just kept a walking. And all of a sudden I heard somebody in the distance, hey, Josh! Marty! Josh! I said, hey, that's Daddy. He's that way. So we turned and we made a road. Amen. We laid them briars down like we was a bulldozer. We went that way. I want you to know I was desperate. I was lost. I was scared. I was afraid. But when I heard my father call, I heard my father calling, and I said, hey, if I can just get to where he's at, I know everything's going to be all right. Hey, I got over that hill, and I seen Daddy coming down the other side. Boys, I'm scared to death. Where y'all been? I said, Daddy, we got turned around on the creek, and we got lost. We were scared. He hugged me up in a bear hug. He said, I'm just glad you're all right, son. Hey, can I tell you, if you're here tonight, and you're lost and undone without God, our Heavenly Father in heaven has sent out a search party, and He's looking for your soul. He's a knocking on your heart's door, honey. You may have come to church lost, but you can leave found tonight. Oh yes, you can leave found tonight. Amen. So when I look at this tonight, I want you to know something. Everything, every part, there was something lost. There was something longed for. And there's something located. The sheep was lost in the wilderness. The silver was lost in the house. And the lost son, he had been a part of the father's fold before, but he had went to the far country. I believe that's a picture of a backslidden Christian. Got out of church. Got away from a fold. Got their feelings hurt. Somebody said something that hurt their feelings. Somebody hurt them deep in their soul. And so they got out of church for a little while. Bible says it's harder, a brother offended's twice harder to win than a strong city. And I believe that to be so. But can I tell you tonight, if you're in that far country, just come on home. The Father's waiting on you. Hey, he just wanted to be one of thine hired servants. But you know what? When he got home, the father put a ring on his hand. He put shoes on his feet. He put a robe on his back. And you know, in those days, I was reading the other day, it said that there was an insignia in that ring. And they could go to town and they could lay that ring down. And it would have the father's mark in it. And everything that they got be put on the father's account. And he paid for it all. You get a hold of that, honey, and you'll make a lap around this place. I'm glad my Heavenly Father has paid for it all. Amen. He put a ring on his hand. Servants didn't wear shoes back in those days. So he wasn't restored as one of the hands on the farm, but he was right back in with the family. And so if you come here tonight and you just want a little cabin on the corner of heaven, look, honey, he's going to put you on Hallelujah Square. Hey, man, I'm trying to tell you something this evening. If you'd but come home, he's not going to run you down. He's not going to point out all your flaws and faults and mistakes. No, the father didn't say, boy, you sure have shame in the family name. No. He didn't say, boy, you sure did waste everything you ever worked for. I believe he said, boy, I'm glad you're all right. Me and your mama's been missing you. Boy, breakfast is going to be good in the morning. I want you to notice this. Father said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let me find my verse right here. Verse 23. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Look, there was a point in this boy's life he would have fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. He was desolate. He was hungry. He was dirty. And he was thin in the far country. But when he got back to the Father's house, he's eating prime rib like we did Friday night. You say, how do you know it's prime rib? He's a fatted calf. He wasn't eating pork chops. You don't get pork chops off cows. He wasn't eating a sausage biscuit. I believe it's either filet mignon, prime rib, or ribeye. So you say, well, preacher, Bible, I can paint this picture any way I want to. Amen. I tell you what it was. It was a 1-inch thick. Somebody say amen. Prime rib. Medium rare with some of that brown juice on the side. I don't remember what that stuff's called, but it ain't English. I remember that. Amen. Dijon, juice. What is it? I don't. Y'all know what I'm trying to tell you this evening. I believe he had the good stuff. Amen. He said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. There's a celebration took place that day when the younger son come home. And I want you to know tonight, if you're here, you come home, there's going to be a celebration take place. Your loved ones is going to wrap their arms around your neck. Your preacher's going to wrap his arms around your neck. Your friends and family is going to wrap their arms around your neck. And we're going to celebrate that one has been found. Hey, tonight, I once was lost. But now, I'm fine.